coming to you from Brooklyn and from Manhattan. We are pretty excited about discussing this week's episode, but first, I think, chapeau, do you want to say hi to everybody?
No, not particularly. I mean, when you say everybody, I'm a little bit questioning the number of viewer that we have, but I just want to answer an email that we got, and this email is from the Avenger New York City. I wonder what that could be. And he wants to know, or she wants to know, because there's no gender attached to the letter, she wants to know if we're for real. So, yeah, we're for real. I am in Tribeca, and Shapi is in Brooklyn. And that's, I don't know. People are retarded. Most people, I find out, and especially Survivor fans, especially mentally ill. So we're going to skip that adventure email. Because, excuse me, chapeau, chapeau.
Are you okay over there?
Well, not really, but, you know, this is it, this is life. I hear, Shapi, that you were going to, I read on your Twitter page that you went to a museum tonight. Who goes to the museum at night? What is that?
Well, you go to the museum at night if you live in Brooklyn, because the Brooklyn Museum is open every first Saturday of the month until 11 p.m. So you can go there and you can check out some exhibits. I saw the Keith Haring exhibit, which I liked a lot. I thought it was very interesting and learned a lot of new things. So that's where I was. I don't know where you were, chapeau, because I haven't spoken to you all day.
Well, I was in my loft in Tribeca by the river. As I am usually, because I barely leave the apartment. Mainly because I'm kind of ashamed, you know, because I'm a little bit double-wided. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to get all this snickering when I hobble down the street. This yesterday I took the subway. I noticed that I take 3 seats when I go to the subway, so I'm a little bit, if you want, ashamed, you know, of, I see young kids, young girls making fun of me. I mean, you know, it's not pleasant, let's say. But while those young girls are starving on celery branches and rice cakes, I can stuff myself pretty okay. I eat my Nutella every day, my M&M's, and all of that is in family size. A friend of mine brings me bag from Costco, and it's very much in mass quantities. So which old man did you drag to the museum, Shapi? Any old man on a date tonight, over 55, that you could bring with you to the museum?
No. I went with my friend, and I didn't bring anyone over 55, thank you very much. So I went with my friend, and basically we just went there because we wanted to see the exhibit, but also there are some cute people around, so you go and maybe you can meet someone, you know, pick them up. Unfortunately, we didn't have any luck because we're not really the most attractive girls on the block, I guess you could say. But, you know, there's always next time some poor sucker will think you're attractive, maybe, and, you know, maybe something will start, but probably not. But you have to keep your spirits high, because you never know what's gonna happen. So, chapeau, you didn't leave the house at all. What did you do all day besides eating?
Well, I mean, first of all, I must say that this must be the most depressing podcast ever. Well, you know, I mean, my life is pretty much set around eating and rubbing one off. If I can find it under all this door, you know, you have to roll the door like the doughboy. So if I can roll that dough enough and find my little spaghetti, can give it a little rub. Well, it's not a pleasant affair and it's not a pleasant matter, but it's in most of the population. You know, they talk about the 99%. I am part of the 99%. 99% of people are butt ugly, fat, obese, overweight, full of cellulite, and can get laid. And that's us. What do you think we watch Survivor for? So, yeah. So I heard a story, Shapi. I don't know if it's true, that you had a very important job interview this week. And because I don't know if you guys know, but Shapi is a secretary. She's a she takes shorthands pretty fast. And so you had a job interview, but you got so nervous. Someone told me that your hands turned red. Any truth to that legend of the red-handed woman? What is that?
Well, my entire hands weren't red, just my knuckles, because, you know, you have some anxieties going into a new situation, so it's kind of hard to just let your guard down and be yourself. So for me, I suffer basically a series of mini panic attacks throughout my whole life. And it's just something you have to deal with. And, you know, you get used to it, but you can't control the physical effects, like the red hands, and then there was red feet, and, you know, just getting overheated, things like that. So it really wasn't that pleasant, and the interview didn't go too well. They said that they would call me, but they still haven't, and that was last week, so I doubt anything good is gonna come of that interview. But like I said before, you know, you have to keep your spirits up and just hope for the best. So, I don't know, chapeau, do you have any more comments to make before we move on with our little podcast here?
Comments, let's see. Well, I mean, so, okay, so you got nervous and you got red hands. Is that a little bit what happened? And, well, okay, I hear you. I mean, you know, because I am a Broadway dancer, if you can believe that. I used to be working on Broadway shows, but as soon as I hit the scale, I gotta be honest with you, they don't want my dancing no more. You know, it was not dancing anymore, it was just rolling around. So that wasn't pleasant to watch, and no more dancing, but bouncing. I can bounce, but no, they bounced me out of there. So, but anyway, I hear you. You know, I had stage fright. Even if I was, you couldn't really see me from the stage. I was always in the back for some reason. See, they always put the cute dancer in the front and the ugly one in the back. And I was in cats, you know. You couldn't see me. I was covered in hair, but that's pretty much, you know, stuff like that. A lot of production of cats, and yeah, I was in Rant too. I was a dancer in Rant, you know, in the background. Yeah, quite a resume in Broadway, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. You know, you get depressed, and then you. Excuse me, hold on. What?
Why did you get depressed?
You know, just when you salivate over some cuties in the subway, and they always turn you down. Like, you keep on giving your number away, but nobody calls you. So after a while, you know, you face reality that this is not for you. You know, in other words, you'll die alone, and you won't be able to have a little kiss here and there, and you know, it's too bad. I'm a very romantic person, but all right. So we encountered a few technical difficulties, of course, because, you know, this is not Survivor Winners from New York City. But Shapi, maybe you want to remind our vast audience that our email address. Maybe they can leave us a little message.
Our email is shapichapo@gmail.com, and you spell it chapichaponyc. So feel free to send us an email, anything you think of, or any comments about our show. You know, that's fine.
So before we start with Survivor, I have a question to ask you, because I heard that you watched a little bit of Celebrity Apprentice, and you watched the, what's the name of that? The fight between Lisa and... can you pose on this thing, by the way, or is it you cannot pose?
No.
Okay. Okay, so another technical difficulty. So what did you make of that fight between Diana and Lisa on Celebrity The Apprentice?
Well, I thought it was very comical. I haven't been following the show, but I just happened to catch it last Sunday night when it was playing on TV. And the woman, Lisa, she looks like she's crazy. But the other one comes off kind of stupid. So I found it very entertaining to watch it and to watch them bicker back and forth and then see Donald Trump try to mediate their whole argument. So I think I might actually start watching it in the future, because it's just one of those shows that it seems like you can just get hooked in it, and it becomes a guilty pleasure, which I'm always looking for shows like that, because my guilty pleasure right now is Survivor a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, I felt that this fight between, what's her name? That fat woman and Diana. She's cute, Diana, but I think she's stupid. As a matter of fact, I thought it was disgusting the way people on the you know, talk about how stupid she was. Well, in fact, she was right. Like, she thought that the spot was too 60s. It was amazing to see Clay can yell at her, basically, to telling her that she doesn't know anything about music, as if Clay can knew anything about music. Like, in other words, We're talking about like the most corny, idiotic singer in the history of music, who basically, because he was on some dumbass reality TV show, that's it. He's a performer now. He's a big singer. But I felt that she was right. She told them both, the fat woman and Click, and that, listen, you know, your spot is 260s, and she should never have been fired. So, as a matter of fact, she was right on many, many of those challenges, and the fat woman never listened to her. So that's sad, and Clay can really turn out to be a complete asshole, and, you know, I think he's a bit afraid of Lisa, so he somewhat tag along to whatever she says. And the fat woman was so upset that she wasn't as beautiful as Diana that she kept on yelling at her for the whole season. It was just such a spectacle. A lot of people who talk about shows love the fat woman, and it makes you wonder about those people and who they are. But let's go back to Survivor. This is why we're here. And what are we going to talk about? Well, today, this week, we saw the elimination of Kat. And I thought it was a bit sad, but she turned out to be quite a space cadet, that Kat. But first of all, I want to make a little comment. At the beginning of the show, we see that idiot Alicia and Sabrina going to the tree mail to retrieve the information for the next challenge. And they jump on the same spot, you know, up and down, up and down. Like women do on American Next Top Model when there is star mail. And I have to admit, if I never see that again in my life, because I find that so infuriating to see some grown-ass woman jumping up and down in the same spot, you know. And how could you, what could possibly excite you that much that you would do that? Why would you humiliate yourself on national TV?
I don't think they're aware that they're doing it. I mean, they've been on the island for so long. They must be used to the camera by now, and I mean, they look horrible, most of them, so I don't really think they're worried about how they're really appearing to other people. I mean, they haven't showered in weeks. They haven't brushed their teeth. You know, it's gross. But I don't really find that as infuriating as you do, Chapeau. I overlooked that part, but now that you mention it, it is a little weird to see grown women jumping up and down. Like 5-year-olds who just, like, received candy or something. So, yeah. But, of course, yeah, now we're at the family episode, and everyone gets their little videos of their family members, and everyone cries. Chapeau, did you... What did you think of this whole video message? Do you think... Well, what I want to ask you is, would you miss, you know, any close friends or family if you had been gone for almost 30 days? Because I don't think I would really miss them that much that I would cry.
Well, Shapi, first of all, I don't have any friends and I don't have any family, so it would be hard. But I completely agree with you. I thought it was one of the most pathetic, but we saw so many pathetic displays. That why not another one of base human behavior? And I don't know why on earth does grown people are just going in a state just because, you know, there is, by the way, some project placement from CBS, you know, to have some phone company or whatever, whatever, some dumbass phone. And I just find that so sad, because you're right. For us, the show started in February, we're 9 May. It has been months since we think they haven't seen their families, but in reality, they haven't seen their families in just like 3 weeks. So who goes in such a state of lament and in such a state of theatrics over 3 weeks missing those people, that, you know, and crying and all this display? But this is something that you see a lot. So like people, you know, they have this tendency to present their families as the, you know, engine of their lives. And then they go in Thanksgiving and everybody can stop insulting everybody, have contempt for everybody if they didn't find a high-paying job, or, you know, if their life is not fitting some kind of moral codes, that some retardo and hicks from the country and have, you know what I mean? So it's very strange to see how people are so hypocritical about their families. Let's face it, family is the biggest pain in the ass you never had in your life. But more importantly, most families are an impediment to your own blossoming in life. I mean, the best would be to be cut off from your family completely. You know, better than to have those morons telling you what to do, what career to pursue. Or if you're weak-minded, which is 99% of the population, you see a lot of that in men in particular. They tend to want to impress daddy, you know. So if daddy was a lawyer, they became a lawyer, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's just such a disgusting dynamic. And families are just sickening. So I don't believe for a second that any of those assholes and survivors have such a passion for their family. Unless maybe Chelsea and her dad, because I'm sure there's some little kissy-kissy going on there. Or the dad is in love with the daughter and he gives her every check she wants, you know what I mean? And in the case of Kat and her cousin, that it goes beyond whatever you can find in a butt-fucking tribe in the Amazonian forest or something, because that is downright gross. Because those two are fucking, I know. So, you know, I don't know. I just find that the family dynamics, you know, and most specifically, families usually, when you are with your family, you tend to play the roles that the family assigned to you. So if you're the lazy daughter, if they label you as a lazy daughter, no matter what you do, you could end up working in the White House, you still be the lazy daughter. Like, and what's a great sociologist actually found out, that not only you are what your family label you, but you act according to what the family label you. This is even more perverse. So not only do they see you as a lazy daughter, but since they label you as the lazy daughter, you end up being lazy just to fit the mold that they assigned to you. It's a very perverse, you know. Anyhow, it was a disgusting display of fakeness, and I don't know why families usually tend to, you know, pretend that they unify when no family on earth is unified. Most families are completely dysfunctional. Daddy wants to fuck a little daughter, The son wants to fuck the mama. There's some shit going on in the family. Some hatred. I never seen so much hatred, deep-seated hatred, than around the Thanksgiving family gathering. So, what's your impression of this family episode, Chappie? And do you, but what's your philosophy?
The only reason I like the family episode is to see what kind of crazy people appear. Because, let's face it, it's just, I hate watching them become so emotional, and it's just boring. I don't really care. But it was interesting to see Tarzan's wife, because I was wondering what she looked like. So, and she definitely looks more normal than I would have pictured her to look. So that's kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know. The family challenges are just, just annoying. Especially that rope challenge. I didn't like, and I knew that Kat and her cousin were going to win because they seemed like they were the most fit and the most agile, so that kind of was a no-brainer of who was going to win the challenge. But yeah, it's always interesting to see where people are coming from and their family members, and but that's the only thing that's interesting. Otherwise, it's just lame. I could do without it. So, who did you think was going to win the challenge, Chapeau?
I for sure thought that deranged Kim was going to win again, because with her sister, she's so hungry for power. That I felt that, you know, she would go out of her way. She's probably one of the most annoying characters I've ever seen on Earth in Survivor. I mean, she's so disgusting a person. I can't even start to tell you. But I thought she was going to give it all, which is so stupid, because this is certainly a challenge you should not win if you have a brain in your head. That's why the whole internet is abuzz as to how smart Kim is. I really, really disagree. I think that she's quiet, but a quiet person doesn't necessarily indicate intelligence, once again. So, you know, she's reserved, she contains her emotion, but those are not characteristic of intelligence. Manipulation, maybe, and conniving, and, you know, being duplicitous, but not an intelligent. You know, it's like when you go to a party and you see all those boys around, and you know, there's always this, you know, scruffy little boy in the back who doesn't say a word, and girls always fall madly for that guy because he's so mysterious. But I for myself, because I don't fuck boys, I always noticed, because I don't have any, you know, my judgment is not clouded by sex with boys, so I always noticed that those guys who are very quiet, you know, I don't want to suck their pee-pee, so I listen to what they have to say, and usually when they speak, nothing interesting comes out, so. But no, I did believe that Kim was about to win, and Kat ended up winning. She was so excited. Now, do you agree with her choices? Do you think it was wise? And who would you have picked had you had won that challenge? Chappie.
I mean, let's see, if
Chappie from Brooklyn, Williamsburg.
I think she thought that she was making smart decisions. That's the problem here, because on her exit interview, she talked about picking Kim because she didn't want her back at camp, turning everyone against her. And she also thought the same thing about Alicia. So I think she thought she was doing the right thing. But of course, you know, people are going to find something wrong with what she does, what she chooses. Because everyone always gets their feelings hurt when they're not chosen. And then Sabrina and Chelsea were saying that she should have chosen Tarzan and Christina because they needed it most. But then I was thinking, okay, if they really, really are that dedicated to their families, they wouldn't have applied for the show and they wouldn't have, you know, accepted the offer. I just don't understand, like, if they really were the ones that needed that time together, then they shouldn't be there. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was weird. So, if I was Kat, I probably would have chosen... That's hard. Definitely not Kim. Because, what the hell, Kim didn't pick her, so... Stupid. I would probably pick... I don't really like anyone on that island, so... Probably whatever two people are least annoying. If that's possible. I don't know if it is. Who would have you picked? Chapeau.
Well, Chapeau, first of all, who would you have picked? You haven't said, basically.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I would probably take... I don't know, they're all just so annoying. I definitely would not take Kim, Alicia. Maybe I'd take Sabrina and Chelsea. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because you heard the interviews, maybe. The one-on-one interviews. I don't know. First of all, I mean, I've never won that game because imagine I could barely go into one of those rope hoops. I would have strangled myself, probably. But I'm not, you know, of a weight condition to jump over ropes and things, so I don't think I would have won, but I imagine in some fantasy world that I would have won. At this point, if I were Kat, I would have picked Kim, because Kim is very scary and obviously had so much of a power over her. But, you know, she says in exit interview that she was protecting Alicia, so I think she did a good choice. Maybe I would have picked, if I wanted to be strategic, I would have picked whoever I felt was not, you know, too close to me or slipping away from me. Maybe Sabrina, you're right, and Chelsea. But at the same point, I don't know. Who cares? I just think it was a horrible discussion between Sabrina and Chelsea. Chelsea come across as really a cunt. You know what I mean? Like, always being mean-spirited, and Sabrina, I had to say that, but Sabrina is a bit clueless, because she's too open, she's too direct, she's too honest. This is a game where you have to be very stealth, and she's too in your face, like, she has to be a bit more tactical, I feel. Could it be the beginning of the end for Kim, because we saw that Chelsea is basically starting to get more aggressive. It seems to me that she had to convince Kim to get rid of Kat. But even that, unfortunately, I don't believe. I think it's a trick of editing. And I think we're still in the pick them one by one scenario. It's a bit strange that Kat left today, so I don't know, at this point it looks like, you know, the people in power are going to be in the final three. But I don't know if it's indicative of any change in the game at this point, where Chelsea will be the one who would come on top. Chelsea is such a mean-spirited cunt that I won't put it past her. But I think she's not as bright as Kim. So, therefore, she could be easily manipulated. But I have a point to make, which is I do believe that in life, when someone is going to work against us and backstab us and cut a throat, and it's so hard to be blindsided. But it happened to us a lot in life, you know. It is the harder thing to know who and when it's going to come, the blind side in your life. And I do believe that we have this type of wired denial for people around us, that we could very well observe little details of what they do, how they act to you, and very well predict that those people are going to betray you, you know. If it's a business relationship, they're going to cut your throat. If it's love affairs, they're going to cheat on you or give up the relationship or whatever. Little details, it is obvious when someone is not going to your way. And if Kat had more experience, she might have seen that, you know, like you ask a question and the answer is never excited. It's always a little bit overthought, you know, and people don't look at you in the eyes. People don't answer an email or a text as fast as they used to be doing it. Or people tend to appease you and so on. I mean, what do you make of that attitude, Chappy, from Williamsburg?
Yeah, it's difficult to know if a blindside is coming. But these girls are just under Kim's spell. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's like they're just so brainwashed by her that they can't even see that she's such, like, a little manipulative bitch. Like, I don't understand how they don't see this and try to gang up on her, because they have to know that she's going to end up blindsiding so many people. But, it's very frustrating. So, also with the challenges, Kim is always the one who's fighting the hardest, so why doesn't anyone find that suspicious? Like, hello? She's the one who is orchestrating everything, and obviously she doesn't want to be kicked out. So I just don't understand why people haven't tried to rally against her. It just blows my mind. So in the challenge, we see that Kat is fed up with Kim winning everything. So she tries her best to win. And eventually it ends up screwing her over, but we'll get to that later. I think Kat felt way too comfortable with Kim, and that's why she was going head-to-head, because obviously she never thought Kim would vote her out. But Shampoo, did you see it coming, the blindsiding of Kat? Because I didn't at all.
Well, unfortunately, I had listened to that Mourn Rob Cesternino podcast the day of the show, you know, and he announced that he thought Kat would go that night. He didn't know yet, but because she had joined his Twitter account the night before, on Tuesday night. So for him, it was an indication, since CBS give him exclusivity for exit interview, you know, that she wanted to be nice to him for the exit interview, so she would join his Twitter page or whatever. And for him, it was an indication that she might be the one to go. And indeed, it happened. I kind of knew it was kind of a... It was a spoiler by that douchebag, Rob, who wants to be Prost one day, you know. God, what a douche. Who start a web page hooked on Amazon.com to make a living out of it? Talking about, could you imagine talking about Survivor and, no? You like Rob Champy from Williamsburg? Anyway, so I kind of knew that she was the one, that asshole that spoiled it for me. But no, I didn't see it coming. I mean, I was actually, I think it was a big mistake, because Kim would have had a very loyal soldier with Kat, even if in the past episode she was starting to discover she had a personality or something. But no, she would have been a very, very loyal soldier. It's a huge mistake for Kim, and I think Kim might regret it. Because now she has a lot of people on the other side who could turn in a second. Alicia is a total snake. Sabrina might decide to go on way. Tarzan, wherever you put him, that's where he is. You know what I mean? So, in other words, it could be dangerous for Kim now because of the disappearance of Kat. Christina is like a total pawn. I think this, if the downfall of Kim happens, which would be the best day of the year for me, it would be because of what happened. She didn't fight enough to keep Kat. It's a huge mistake. She needed Kat as a loyal, idiotic servant. And now, if she falls, it might be as a result of that. What do you think, Shapi?
Well, what I heard was that Kim was scared of Kat's social game with the guys. So that's why she wanted her out. So I kind of see the logic behind that. And maybe it was a smart decision by her, because Kat would have the vote of all the guys, especially after Troyzan, you know, went up to her when he was evicted and said, do it. That just shows that the guys are on her side. And then on the exit interview, we find out she might have had a little fling with Mike. So it's like she has all these guys on her side. And that wouldn't be good for Kim, because if she makes it to the final three, I mean, they're going to choose Kat, obviously. So what do you have to say about that, Chapeau?
Yeah, I heard that too. I have a hard time believing that Kat should be in the final three. That's another sign. Everybody keeps on saying how smart Kim is. I don't see it. You know, I see a vicious snake, but I don't see a vicious cold snake, but I don't see a smart person. Because why would you bring Kat to the final three like she pretended she wanted to do in that episode? Kat is a dangerous threat. You know, she could win challenges. She is flirtatious with the boys. And just out of spite, because I imagine everybody sitting on that jury hates Kim's guts because she had a reason in their expulsion, they would vote for Kat just out of spite, which happened in a lot of Survivor finales. You know, the winner is not usually the best player, but if the jury is bitter, you give the prize to some asshole who just happened to be dragged to the final three. So Kat should never go to the final three, but she should be in the final four. And you use her as a crutch to get to the winning spot. You know what I mean? But you get a cut or lose right before you go to the final trouble console. But she would have had a sure vote, you know, because Alicia is a tall snake in the grass. Sabrina is, Chelsea is, Tarzan is deranged, Christina is deranged. But those people are not reliable. I think she made a grave mistake. I hope it's a downfall, and I hope she's gone. I can't stand Kim. And Kat was very nice, but she was too maybe in love with herself, I would say. And therefore, her self-absorption was such that she couldn't see past little boobs. You know what I mean? But you... Kim has such a mustache, by the way. Ugh, so gross, no?
Yeah, she absolutely does. I feel that maybe she felt, like you said, she felt threatened by Kat because she can win challenges. And if she does end up winning challenges and making it to the final three, it's just a risk that maybe Kim didn't want to take, you know? So... yeah, I think it was smart of her to vote her out now instead of keep her around until the final four, because you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to find an immunity idol, who's going to win the challenge. So, but it was just like a drastic turn during in camp when they decided to vote for Kat. And so... and that is kind of weird that Alicia was calling that. It wasn't even Kim's idea, so... but maybe Kim thought about that and... she just wanted to play it off like it was Alicia's idea. So, we'll never know, but... we can only speculate. So... yeah. So, chapeau, what I wanted to ask you was that at the game's current state, do you think that Tarzan will make it to the final three?
No, and I thought that he would a week ago, but not anymore. I think he's toast, and good riddance, who gives a shit about that, or fart. But I do believe that it could be the beginning of the slippage of Kim, what we witness on Wednesday. And it could be the end of Kim. I think that she made two major mistakes, in my opinion. First, she got rid of Jay. Jay, now we learn, was in love with her. Therefore, why would you get rid of someone who's in love with you? This asshole is going to vote for whatever you tell him till the end, you know? And then she got rid of Kat. And I think those were the dumbest in the whole game and the most loyal servants. Remember that Chelsea was the one who was always against voting Jay because Chelsea was madly in love with Jay. And maybe we had a threesome there with Kim. So Chelsea's judgment is completely impaired. She's a bit stupid. And as far as... you know, the Sabrina is the one who ran and gave her idol to Colton, if you remember. So Sabrina is not the brightest bulb either. What do you make of Sabrina game and the fact that she almost got kicked out this week? Like, in other words, what do you make of the fact that Sabrina started to turn on the Alliance and wanted, you know, Kat out? Now, remember at the beginning of the game, they were already starting to talk about kicking Kat out because she was too stupid, she didn't understand the challenges. Do you remember at the beginning of the game, they wanted Kat out and someone else got booted out instead of her because she broke her hands or something? But there was talk, I think, the first, second episode of kicking Kat out. And there was actually a talk where Chelsea was convinced to get rid of Kat and talk to Kim about it. And Kim said, no, we have to keep the numbers and so on and so forth. And Sabrina was the one who was, if I remember correctly, orchestrating the departure of Kat. So it was long in the coming, but it happened. And I think it's a huge mistake. They had the numbers. They should have stayed four very strong, you know. Kat, Sabrina, Kim, and Chelsea, and that's the end of it. Now, for them not to realize that Alicia is a snake in the grass, that's a major mistake that could end up being fatal. What's your position on all this goosh? Chapi, chapeau.
Well, the only thing that's saving Sabrina is that she's kind of weak in challenges, so that will probably drag her, I think, at least until next week, and it's just hard to say. You know, things can change so quickly from day to day, or as we see it, week to week. So, I don't think... I really don't believe that Sabrina is going to be next out. I think next might be Alicia, because she's getting a little bit too cocky in her game, because now she's starting to call the shots, and she's just, also she's a horrible person, so I hope she leaves the game as soon as possible. But Sabrina's game has been kind of interesting, because like you said before, she's been in everyone's face, and she, you know, she says whatever is on her mind, but she's still there. And I think that's because she's a weak player in challenges. So, I guess we'll see what happens. But I think that she'll probably be gone. If Alicia gets voted out next week, she'll probably be the next week. And then final four will be Kim, Chelsea, Tarzan, and Christina. So, that's just my feelings on it. Do you have any final four predictions, Chapo?
Oh, very interesting that you say that Alicia's days are numbered. I mean, I would be so delighted to see that count number two out. But I hope you're right. I hope they will see the light, and this person is extremely conniving, and you know, but we don't know, because we don't see anything. All we see is those dumb challenges because of those idiotic producers. We don't know how Alicia is able to play that camp and not showing too much power hunger, you know, like she exhibit during the interviews, the one-on-one interviews, the confessionals. So if Alicia is able to put her gigantic stupid ego in check at camp and not talk too much, you know, keep it to herself, or stupid opinions, she might go further than what you say. But if an education is the way she is behaving at Tribal Council, which is very, very outspoken, if that's an education, then a day is a number. Otherwise, those people are completely idiotic, and Alicia needs to win. You know what I mean? But you're right. It could be very well be, I hope you're right, that Alicia is going next week, because, you know, maybe in that scuffle with Kat, over Kat, someone got wise to the fact that Alicia is a very dangerous little conniving bitch. You know what I mean? The final four, I believe that, I think you're right. I think it's very possible that Christina will be dragged to the final four because she's so clueless and helpless. And it would be a major mistake for Kim to bring Chelsea. I do believe that the final four might end up being Chelsea, Christina, Sabrina, and Tarzan. see. I do believe that Kim's gonna go before, and I do believe that. I mean, I'm dreaming right now, but it's maybe more hopeful than wishful than, you know. It's very possible that Kim would go, and then Alicia. That would be wonderful. Those two morons could go, but I'm still afraid that Katrina is gonna. Sabrina, sorry, is gonna leave early. What about Matthew? Do you think he's gonna go to the final four?
Who?
Matthew.
Matthew?
Yeah, just checking if you're not sleeping over there in Williamsburg.
I'm not sleeping at all. I'm listening very intently to what you're saying. Yeah, so I'm playing the episode and Kat was just so upset when she got voted out. She just looked like she was gonna lose it, so I can't wait to watch those Ponderosa episodes. So, yeah, you know, it happens in Survivor, you get voted out, you get blindsided. Like Kat said, you know, there's nothing better than a good blindside because it's fun. Meanwhile, she didn't know that she was the one who was being blindsided. So, you know, always an interesting game, Survivor.
Yeah, I wonder how I would behave on that show. Like, would that be good or... But... by the way, I think that the preview for next week is funny. And I think it's complete red herring. Like, they pretend that Tarzan is going next week, you know? You can bet your ass that he's gonna be here, you know, till the end, you know? So, I do believe Kim is coming to pieces next week. Oh, that'd be wonderful. And that stupid Kat was so arrogant, and Mark Burnett hate arrogant contestants. They always evicted the more arrogant, you know, pride beneath the fall is always the mantra of Survivor. And in life, too, I mean, you know, it can be too arrogant. Except when I touch my pee-pee, I can be arrogant because I have this gigantic cucumber. You know what I mean? So that's... So I hear you want to see a movie this week, Shabby. On Twitter, I saw your Twitter page. You want to see a movie? What's that about?
Well, it was about Zefron in The Lucky One. It was a boring movie. I didn't like it. I thought he was just so unattractive in it. He had to, like, bulk up, and he looked like a little marine boy running around with his big neck and his big chest, and it just looked gross. The movie was just boring. Like, it was too long. There was really nothing special about it for me. I don't know if you've seen that one lately, but I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, everyone has different tastes, so... Did you see that movie, Shapo?
No, I didn't, but I thought you were, like, an intellectual. Like, you liked Fellini and Pasolini and Tarkovsky and Buñuel and Bergman, and next thing I know, you go see The Lucky One. Like, what kind of intellectual do we have here?
You can't have all work and no play, Chapeau. Come on. You have to have some kind of fun in your life. You can't just bury your head in these books about directors' biographies all the time, and watch their movies constantly. You have to get some diversity going in there. Can't just be an academic all the time, or else you'll end up killing yourself. I mean, you have to be happy too.
Okay. So I went to see the movie Safe. See, I go to the movies on Times Square on 42nd Street at 2 in the morning. They have a very late show there because nobody can see me, you know. And not that many laughter and sneakers when I wobbled on that aisle, you know what I mean? So, yeah, Safe with Jason Statham, you know. A lot of kick-ass, you know, stuff like that. That was an intellectual movie. It was very educational and very philosophical, you know. You could learn a lot about Burke and Kant. And I highly recommend the movie Safe, you know, if you want to learn about Burke and Kant and the theory of the sublime.
Really? Because I don't think so. I think you're just testing me again. I don't like it. So, I think you've just about had enough of our podcast. Thank you if you stuck around for the whole thing. You deserve a medal. So, obviously, we'll be back next week because we have nothing better to do. So we're looking forward to you tuning in, downloading our podcast, and just enjoying our witty banter. So, any last words, Shepa?
No, nothing much to add. I gotta go cook now. Cook a big gloopy bulgur. And after that, it'll be all set. It's a finale of The Amazing Race on Sunday, tomorrow. But we're taping that at 4 in the morning on Sunday morning. So in a few hours, we'll know if Rachel and... what's his name? The big doofus. Brandon. Rachel and Brandon will know if they won The Amazing Race. I hope. I'm rooting for them. So, and you're going to see, you're going to watch Celebrity Apprentice this Sunday, Shappi?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it just for kicks, you know. So I have nothing better to do. So, that's life.
Okay, do you want to tell us a little philosophy before we part?
No, not particularly. Maybe next time I can tell you a little philosophy because, you know, it's almost 4 in the morning and my brain's a little shot. So I'll definitely be back with some philosophical insights next time. So you have that to look forward to. So, yeah.
And a new song too. There was a new song today. Wow, for the show. Wonderful. You play on the piano and you sing. Oh my, oh my.
Yes, I wrote a new song. So if you like it, feel free to tell me. Just email us. I'm open to any kind of compliments. So.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.